For WKU Public Radio, I'm Joe Corcoran. The War of 1812 started 200 years ago this month. It's a war that's often overlooked, and its causes are confusing to many people. Dan Modlin talks with WKU historians Glenn LaFantasy and Jack Thacker about the situations that led to the start of that war.
Well, Dr. Thacker, it's the war that led to the burning of the White House and the writing of the Star-Spangled Banner, but a lot of people seem to be a bit confused about how this war with Britain got started in 1812.
The War of 1812 actually came out of what is called the French Revolutionary and Napoleonic Wars, which had been waging since 1792, in which England had been the primary enemy of France. Now, during the period from around 1800 until the war breaks out, the United States had been carrying on very profitable trade with both England and France. And because of French help in the American Revolution, to a great degree, the Americans sympathized with the French. Although I might add that economically speaking, they had far, far greater ties with the English. As a matter of fact, America was actually, in the period before the War of 1812, the largest customer of English goods in the world. England and France are fighting this war. England has, October the 21st, 1805, the English destroyed the French fleet in the Battle of Trafalgar. This left Napoleon with no way to get at England. There was no way he was going to be able to invade England, and he's somewhat frustrated by all this, so he comes up with an idea called the Continental System, in which he establishes through a series of decrees a very tight paper blockade of England. Now, he can't blockade English trade, but any ship that trades with the English or helps the English, if he can get his hands on it, they say they're able to seize it. At the same time, the British reply to Napoleon with a very tight blockade, a real blockade, and they pass a series of orders in council. These orders in council allow the British to seize any neutral ships trading with the French. Now, the United States gets caught in the middle because we're one of the largest carrying trade, have the largest carrying trade nations in the world at that time.
And so this was the situation that existed as the impressment of U.S. sailors became an issue.
You could make, as a sailor, almost three times as much money on an American ship as you could on a British ship. So large numbers of British sailors jumped ship anytime they got near an American port or whatever and sailed on American ships. This meant the British, who are losing probably 10,000 men a year in their navy from disease, from accidents, and some actually war wounds, but very few of those, find it more and more difficult to man their ships. So what they do is they stop neutral ships on the high seas to find out if there are deserters on board. And how do you tell the difference between an Englishman and an American in 1805 or 6 or 7? And in 1807, the English actually, which is really an act, which is tantamount to an act of war, the English actually stop an American frigate, American man of war, the Chesapeake, the English ship the Leopard, stops it and presses sailors off of an American naval vessel. That is a clear and present violation of all the rules of the sea.
WKU historian Dr. Glenn LaFantasy says during his presidential administration, President Thomas Jefferson tried to address the issues on the high seas through the Embargo Act.
This suspended all commerce with Great Britain and France. It also suspended all foreign trade by U.S. vessels, and predictably, it caused economic disaster in the United States. It became an especially hated policy in the northeastern states, where a lot of the merchant trade and shipping trade was located. It was not at all effective. Jefferson thought this would force diplomatically the Great Britain and economically the Great Britain's hand, but it didn't do anything except ruin the American economy. Eventually, that Embargo Act was lifted at the end of Jefferson's presidency, and then James Madison became president in March 1809.
Dr. LaFantasy, we sometimes hear reference to the so-called war hawks and the start of the War of 1812. What role was Congress playing?
Congress, including the presidential administration, Madison's administration, grope around trying to find an effective policy against Great Britain. The United States at that point is essentially a mouse facing a lion. In Congress in May 1810, Congress passes Macon's Bill No. 2. This lifted all embargoes against Great Britain and France, but with the provision that if either nation stopped attacking U.S. shipping, then the United States would end trade with the other country, unless that other country also came around and agreed to recognize U.S. rights as a neutral. By November 1811, the 12th U.S. Congress convenes in Washington. And what we find in this Congress, and it's crucial, is that there's a mixture of grievances against particularly Great Britain, but also France as well. But there's anger over the Chesapeake Affair. That still lingers as a really big item domestically. Impressment on the high seas remains a very strong concern among especially these congressmen serving in Washington. Expansionism, which, you know, you might not normally think would be involved in this fight with the British. But expansionism is such that Americans have already come to the conclusion that America should expand westward, certainly to the Mississippi River, and then by virtue of the earlier Louisiana Purchase in 1803, to the Pacific Ocean. But to do so, there's a hindrance, and that hindrance are Native Americans, Indians, who stand in the way. Many of those Indians are being encouraged by British agents in the Old Northwest and also in places like here in Kentucky. The British are instigating Indian raids on American settlements and hindering, in the minds of many Americans like Henry Clay from Kentucky, hindering American expansion westward.
And Dr. Thacker, isn't it true that his feelings were running high in the United States, they were also running high in Britain?
The British are thinking that this is a chance to deal with America. They don't want to reconquer America. What they want to do is put America in its place so it would be subordinate to England. And they're thinking they're going to be able to do this.
And how does the War of 1812 actually start?
With an American Declaration of War, which is a fascinating document because it basically lists only three things: impressment, the orders in council, and the Indian issues. And the Indian issues, by the way, were only added on at the last minute when Madison made his statement. And I might add that his Declaration of War to Congress was a rather poor speech, cobbled together, which he should have been prepared for a long time, but it seemed to be cobbled together at the last time, and according to the newspaper accounts.
We've been talking with Dr. Jack Thacker and Dr. Glenn LaFantasy of the WKU History Department. The War of 1812 had a significant impact in Kentucky. In fact, Kentucky lost more people in the war than any other state. For WKU Public Radio, this is Dan Modlin.